Well, they have 7 o'clock, and it looks like we have a quorum, so I'm gonna start this meeting. And I'll state for the record, for the ease of publishing minutes for tonight's meeting, his session is being recorded. I'm gonna open the meeting at 7 o'clock. Mr. Clerk, if you would please call the roll.
Yeah, just hold on a sec. Chair Douglas Purcell.
Here.
Frank Malagisi.
Here.
Kathleen Ellerby.
Here.
John Burns.
Here.
And where is Kev?
I sent a reminder out a couple of times, so I don't know. All right, I have a quorum. The meeting minutes of our November 17th, 2021 meeting were published to the web late Saturday, Sunday. At this point, I'd ask whether the three of you had an opportunity to even look at them or review them.
Yes, I did.
Yes?
Yes.
Great. Then I'll ask, do you have any changes or corrections to the minutes?
No.
No.
All right. Hearing none, I will move to waive the reading of those minutes and ask that we approve the minutes as published. Could I have a second?
I'll second it.
Great. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. We have one application before the board tonight. This meeting will be a two-part hearing, a public session and a closed session. During the open session, we will hear first from the applicant. We will then entertain comments from the public and hear any correspondence. I would like to remind those in the audience that the comments from the public should be addressed to the board only. Once all parties have had an opportunity to speak concerning the application, the board will go into closed session. At this time, we will hear application Z-2021-10 from Code Officer Blowers, requesting an interpretation with regard to the granting of permits 2021-276 for a 40 by 60 foot garage and 2021-277 for a 30 by 50 foot single family dwelling on property owned by David Falvo, located at 300 County Highway 111 and identified as parcel 68.5-2-2. At issue is an interpretation regarding Article 10, Section 3, Subsection B, Paragraphs 1 through 12. Before we get started, in my 12 to 13 years of being on the Zoning Board of Appeals, this is certainly the most unique application that I've ever seen. I believe I've only been present for two interpretations. And in both of those cases, it was an interpretation of a denial notice, not an approval notice. Before we hear from the applicant, I believe the board should review the rights and responsibilities of the Zoning Board of Appeals. First of all, the act of the town board adopting a zoning ordinance necessitates the creation of and existence of a Zoning Board of Appeals. By definition, from the current zoning ordinance, the Zoning Board of Appeals is the entity charged with carrying out the requirements delegated to it by the zoning ordinance, included but not limited to interpreting the provisions of the zoning ordinance, reviewing actions of the code enforcement officer, and the granting or denial of variances. Article 11, Section 2, Subsection A, Paragraph 1A, states the general authority of the ZBA as follows. The ZBA may reverse or affirm wholly or partly or may modify the order, requirement, decision, interpretation, or determination appealed from and shall make such order, requirement, decision, interpretation, or determination as in its opinion ought to have been made in the matter of by the code enforcement officer. And to that end shall have all the powers of the code enforcement officer from whose order, requirement, decision, interpretation, or determination appeal is taken. In terms of interpretations, Article 11, Section 2, Subsection A, Paragraphs 2A and 2B say the following. The ZBA shall decide all appeals involving the interpretation of any provision of these regulations, including determination of the exact location of any zoning district boundary, if there is uncertainty with respect thereto, or any other determination made in the administration or application of these regulations. The interpretations shall be considered and rendered by the ZBA only upon appeal, following and based upon a determination made by the code enforcement officer. Article 11, Section 3, Subsection A defines those who can appeal as: appeals may only be taken by any person aggrieved by a written decision, determination, order, requirement, or interpretation made by the code enforcement officer, or the code enforcement officer or any other officer, department, board, or bureau of the town charged with the administering and enforcing of zoning ordinance. The determination of whether an applicant is aggrieved shall be determined by the ZBA after hearing, as part of the appeal process set forth in Article 11, Section 3, Subsection B. And that subsection, Paragraph 1A, states: an appeal from an order, requirement, decision, interpretation, or determination of the code enforcement officer shall be taken within 60 days after the filing of the town clerk's in the town clerk's office of such order, requirement, decision, interpretation, or determination of the code enforcement officer. I've just covered a lot of ground for the board. And before we hear from the applicant, I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions or comments with regard to the authority of this board to hear and adjudicate this application. Everybody's good? Okay. Then, at this point, I will ask Code Enforcement Officer Blowers to present and discuss her application.
As stated in the denial notice, Article 4, Subsection 3 in the use table, the first permit was for a garage, which was an enclosed accessory structure, and the structure does not constitute a principal building, and that was the reason why the application was denied when we brought it to the office. But there was nothing with the application other than what you have. And as you can see, Article 10, Subsection 3 lists items that someone needs to bring in when submitting their application.
Okay. But that's...
The problem is that many, many, many other people have spent thousands of dollars getting the proper paperwork to create their property into something that they want it to be. Sanitation work, survey work, plans for homes, plans for garages, and there wasn't anything like that with this.
You're asking for an interpretation on the granting of the application with all of this information being presented, correct?
Right.
Okay. Is there anything else that you'd like to add? Is there anybody in the audience that would like to speak? And I will remind the audience, please address the board if you have comments that you'd like to make. Go ahead, Tony.
The applicant that was approved, the application that was approved, has both design plans for the garage and a sketch plan for the house, along with cross-section, waiting on plans for the sanitation until after the lot is cleared. There are measurements from the wetland markings that the APA biologist marked out. And the house is under 1,500 square feet, therefore it does not need engineered stamped drawings. Everything else met the qualifications.
Okay. Is there anybody else that would like to speak? Was there any correspondence?
No, there was no correspondence.
All right, if there's no one else that would like to speak to this application, and no correspondence, then I will close the open session for this application, and the board will go into closed session to discuss the application. Before I open that up, I would like to return back to the points that I made at the beginning of this meeting and state that I feel that the applicant has met the criteria for a valid interpretation of a determination made by a code enforcement officer. There's been less than 60 days since the permits were approved. I think as a code enforcement officer assigned the duties and responsibilities to enforce the zoning code, that she meets the qualifications for being eligible to appeal. And so, at least from my perspective, I think that we should be able to proceed to make a determination or an interpretation on this. Anybody have anything that they'd like to say with regard to that?
I agree.
Okay. Are you comfortable with that, Kathy?
Yeah.
John? Does anybody have any questions of either of the two parties? I'll kick it off if you want me to. You say that you have designs for the building, but what I've been given is supposed to be all of the materials that were presented for the approval of the application. Are there more materials for this application that I don't see? I agree that there is a garage, but I don't see anything other than a little square drawn on the map for the house.
It's in the folder for the with the application.
His sanitation plans?
Well, even the one for the house. My question would be, we know that it's less than 35 feet high, because nothing I see says that.
Yes, there's a cross section in there. It's a single family ranch, three bedroom.
Okay. Knowing that you still have other things to come, why did you issue the permit for the house?
Well, on behalf of the town, in the event that the garage itself was eligible because it's a principal structure based on it's over 1,250 square feet.
Nope. Hold it right there. I've read that section, and the last section of a principal structure states very specifically that an accessory structure cannot be a principal structure. That's right in the code.
Right, and it's also in there that if it's an accessory structure is not considered an accessory structure is considered a principal structure if it is over 1,250 square feet. And there's already been precedence on this,
which has not been challenged. Because now I'll go back to the appeal process. If somebody had brought this to the Zoning Board of Appeals within 60 days of it being done, we could have made an interpretation on it. However, at the time, nobody did. In the past, under the old ordinance, garages, accessory structures, were not permitted and came to the Zoning Board of Appeals for a use variance. We would discuss it. We could put criteria on it. When the new ordinance went into effect, the zoning use table changed all of that from blank to special use permit. As an accessory structure alone, without any other principal structure, it should go to the planning board. I'm only speaking for one, but I'll try later to get some agreement from my other members here. Would go to the planning board for a special use permit, where again, they could put criteria on it with regard to yes, we'll give it approval, but you've got to have the principal structure put in place within 2 to 3 years, for example. Or put money up front so that if you don't build a principal structure within a certain amount of time, we've got funds available to tear it down if we so choose. Those are all things that the planning board has the power to do. And I see some nods coming from two. We pretty much so seeing the same thing with regards to an accessory structure not being 1,250 square feet, making it a principal structure, when it clearly states an accessory structure cannot be a principal structure. It's plain as day.
On my interpretation of it, when it calls a principal structure is anything over 1,250 square feet.
What do you do with that last sentence? How does that last sentence apply then?
What last sentence? You're under the next line.
No, I'm still under the definition of a principal building.
Right.
Page 21.
Number 9 states that a principal structure is anything over 1,250 square feet is considered a principal.
Unless it's an accessory structure.
You can't have both. You can't have an accessory structure and a principal structure.
That's exactly why it can't be a principal structure. It's an accessory structure.
And I've gone based on previous code enforcement rulings,
which have not been brought to the Zoning Board of Appeals for an interpretation. We'll make that a part of whatever we do here in terms of the interpretation.
So back to the beginning part of the first question you asked. To group it all together so that there was a house there, so that the property is set up for a house and a garage, accessory structure as you call it, to fit in with the rest of the community. Is where they went with that, and Mr. Falvo agreed to pay for the permit and do the garage or the house and the garage at the same time. And the only holdback on any of the planning part of it, or design part of it, is there's significant site work to be done, and when that gets done, then the proper perk test can be done to establish the proper septic system for that said house.
Okay, so that's your justification for approving the permit without all the other stuff being there.
Well, what other stuff would you be looking for?
A survey.
He has a site plan.
Because there's wetlands on that property. In order for him to put a sanitation system on there, he would have to have a survey. According to the zoning ordinance. Tomorrow night, someone's coming in front of the planning board.
One at a time.
For a special use permit, and they already have a survey, engineered survey and sanitation system, and he's still being sent to the planning board for a special use permit.
Okay, you started to say something.
The APA marked out the wetlands. I was physically on site and measured off from that to meet all the requirements that are on the site plan.
Okay.
And the other measurements come from as you're facing the property, the left-hand property line, which is clearly marked, and the road. There's no other boundaries to go from that would dictate needing a survey to mark out what can be marked out plainly that I can physically see to determine that it meets all the setbacks.
Okay. Was the What was submitted to the APA for the jurisdictional determination? Did it include the house or did it just include the garage? It looks like from the dates of the letter that it was only for the garage, so I would question whether or not the jurisdictional determination that you got from the APA really covered the entire plan that has now been approved.
This one here just says the construction of new garage next as a drive.
Well, that's what I thought.
Correct, which were submitted on the 29th. After, and this was received back on November 2nd, the permit was not issued until November 5th.
Yeah, but it says that the drawings that were submitted back in September, if I remember right.
Of just the garage.
Right.
Mr. Favreau added the house in after.
To the APA, or just because I don't see anything in the letter that says that they received other information?
So you're asking, did the APA know where the house was supposed to be?
Yes.
I do not have a copy of the plan. I do not know if the plan was submitted to the APA, the same plan that Mr. Favreau submitted to me.
I have a couple of questions for you, both, as a matter of fact. Based on the format of the permits that have been issued, I'm going to presume that at least 275 have been issued so far year to date. So I'm asking you the question that for each and every application submitted, that the files will contain all of the documentation outlined in Article 10, Section 3, Subsection B, Paragraphs 1 through 12. For example, I think of the second story addition of the garage by Tor Shakarian and Paul that is on my road. I think of the porch replacement for Gene Senti. I think about the accessory structure for the parking of Tony Rusitano's tractor. The replacement deck and gazebo in the rear of Mark and Doreen Ford's house. The garage that the Jabars just came to get an application for. So if I asked to see the files, I would see all of this documentation that's listed in that subsection or not?
I can't answer the question. I haven't seen sanitation. I haven't seen survey.
Do you ask to see sanitation when somebody's just putting a second story addition on a house?
No.
Or a garage?
No.
Do you ask to see sanitation if somebody's just putting an accessory structure across the property on the other side of the road?
No.
Would you ask to see sanitation for somebody tearing out an old deck and replacing it with a deck and a gazebo?
No.
That's kind of what I thought. That one of the concerns that I have,
what is
the criteria for determining what is necessary and when?
For the first 6 or 7 years that I worked here, I never saw a single family dwelling permit issued without engineered sanitation plans. Ever.
Okay. So what you're saying is if somebody's doing a new single-family dwelling is when you start to expect to see that. And one of the problems that I have is, unlike the language for requirements for applications for the Planning Board and Zoning Board of Appeals, we have language that says very specifically, the Zoning Board of Appeals may waive or add any requirements for an application submission it deems appropriate in order to accomplish purposes set forth. For the Planning Board, if the Planning Board finds that any of the information requirements is set forth above, and I was looking specifically at site plan review, but the same thing exists under this special use permit, it may waive such information requirements as it deems appropriate. The Planning Board may grant such waivers on its own initiative or at the written request that sets forth the requirements that are requested to be waived and the reasons for the requested waiver of the applicant. I don't see any similar language when it comes to building permits. In fact, it basically says Each application shall, at a minimum, contain the following information. And then it lists all 12 items. And I'm not going to go through reading them right here, but... the first one on the list, the surveyed plot plan prepared by a New York State licensed land surveyor. That's the first one there. And yet you're telling me that we don't have them for this. Now, I have not submitted building application requests under the new ordinance. I can tell you that under the old ordinance, I never submitted that for a dock permit. I never submitted it for the addition on my house. I never submitted it for the addition I put on my woodshed so I could have covered wood. I kind of wish that Ken was here, because Ken's the only one that I know of us here that submitted an application under the new one. But what I'm hearing you say is, you really don't require this all the time. So what I'm hearing you say, Jennifer, is that the simple fact that this is a single family dwelling is why you think that this should be met. What you're saying is that I'm going to monitor it and make sure that he covers all of this before the work is completed.
Correct.
And then I get to the point where it says, no zoning, building, or sign permit shall be issued by the code enforcement officer unless the code enforcement officer has determined that the proposed building, use, or sign complies with all provisions of the ordinance, the New York State Uniform Fire Prevention and Building Code, and all their applicable state and local laws, codes, rules, and regulations. One thing I want to point out to Jennifer, you state that the denial of the building permit for the garage, which was not a garage because there's no principal structure, making it therefore an accessory use structure, an accessory structure, would have had to go to the Zoning Board of Appeals for a use variance. That's not quite true. The zoning ordinance use table for an LFB, which I believe this property was, says it would be a special use permit. So during the discussion with the applicant, where you were telling him that he needed to provide you some more information, and by the way, I'm not going to be able to prove it anyway, it's going to need a use variance, you should have said, it's going to require a special use permit. You following me? I've done a lot of the talking.
I think this,
and I'm running out of paper, unfortunately.
I think this should go back to code enforcement.
In terms of,
It shouldn't be here right in front of us. That's my opinion. I feel that it should go back to code. They can work out the differences.
Well, it's obvious that that's not happened. Which was why they're here asking for an interpretation. Either all of this list is really not required, which I've heard them both say is true, or the permits were issued prematurely because the requirements for an application were not met at the time that the application was done. I think to throw it back in their laps, you're going to have this repeat down the road. And in all honesty, I'm not really understanding why Mr. Pablo was opposed to taking... I can understand why Mr. Pablo might have been opposed to bringing it to the Zoning Board of Appeals for a use permit, or use variance, knowing what we've talked about, how difficult a use variance is to achieve approval of. Not knowing how many times this body, and I, you know, certainly you, Ken, and I have been through many of these use variances where people want to put up a garage or a shed or something where it's not approved for use, and we've said, yes, we understand that you want to put up a garage so you can store your tools and everything while you build a house. Right. We did one on Beach Ridge. We did one on Hilly. We allowed one on London Bridge Road where the person didn't have sufficient property to put a garage. And they wanted to put one on another piece of property they bought, and we approved it. So they do get approved. And I personally think that the permit for the house should have never been issued, the single dwelling, because of the missing pieces. Which then means, and again, this is just me talking, which then means that the permit for the garage, which is an accessory structure, should have not been approved and gone to the planning board for a special use permit for them to put whatever criteria or restrictions on if they were going to approve it, thus allowing David Falvo to move forward with building his garage to store tools and put things in until such time as a single family dwelling would be built. And code enforcement had the documentation for what the sewer system was going to be, the septic system, where the well's going to be, and how it impacted, if any, the wetlands. That's what I think should have happened. That means that you've got to agree that with my interpretation of the definition of the principal building, which I really wish in the writing of it, it had been up front and set it at the top instead of at the bottom, because it's very easy to overlook. Very easy to overlook. But you can't have a garage without a principal structure, and if you define an accessory structure as not being able to be a principal building, then that makes an accessory structure. And accessory structures require special use permits in zone LFB. And again, I'm thinking
because of the house thing, we have absolutely nothing about the dimensions, height, where it is.
I'm taking Tony at his word that that's in the file. I wish that everything that had been given to us. I'm not going to sit here and call him a liar.
No.
We should be able to walk over there and see it when we're done. But I'm not going to ask him to go over there and prove it to me. I understand the expediency, and I really feel sorry because I drove by there today, and he's got, would you say half the garage done?
That is not his garage.
That's not his?
No.
Whose is that?
That is Peter Menzies.
Okay. Has he started work?
He has put up the silt fence that the APA required him to put
up. Okay.
He is waiting on the excavator to show up to start taking.
Without numbers through there, it's kind of hard to tell.
Well, Mr. Favell's numbers are across the street in. Menzies are on that side of the street.
Okay. Your thought is take no action and turn it back over, which means that the rights and responsibilities that are defined for the Zoning Board of Appeals with getting an application. In my mind, we either say, go ahead and proceed, the permits were okay, or no, the permits were not okay. Those are the two options I see available to us. I think to take no action puts the two code enforcement officers at a loggerhead that isn't going to be resolved based on anything I'm hearing right now. How do you feel about it, John?
We really can't rule on the house because we have nothing to.
We're not ruling on the house. We're ruling on whether or not the granting of the permits met the criteria of the zoning ordinance. We've got nothing before us in terms of appeal about the garage, nothing before us about the appeal for the house, other than the fact that Code Enforcement Officer Blowers feels that the zoning ordinance was not followed. And clearly, to the letter that it's there, it wasn't. But by the same token, I've already demonstrated to both of them that there are many applications that are issued permits without all of the information, without all of this information being presented. True?
Well, you were just mentioning Mr. Mangini.
I didn't, but I...
Yeah. All of his sanitation was handed in first. His survey, his house plans, and his garage plans, everything was handed in before he started his garage.
We're not comparing apples to apples at that point. The lots are totally different situations. There's no wetlands in range of Mr. Menzies to dictate that. Mr. Menzies does not have any more design plans than for the house than does Mr. Favreau.
Okay.
He does have the septic system design because of the type of soil and the perk test that was able to be done for the area to go ahead with that.
Okay.
Well, that's where Mr. Menzies.
Other than the harm and the fact that the permit might have been at issue without the single family dwelling, there was really no reason to do the single family dwelling, was there?
It was Mr. Falvo's idea, and I agreed with him that, okay, we'll put it all together and put it into...
And you knew at that time she had already denied it, so this was seen as a mechanism to get around it.
Not a mechanism to get around it. It was a fix. You know, you're not. You've got two structures. You're not going to deny a single family home. Everybody wants a single family
right.
home in Kroger.
Yep.
So.
Even though the application lacked a lot of the information.
The only information that it was lacking is the sanitation. And to add to that, with that being said, he gets the house all done, the garage all done, and can't put a septic system in. He understands that consequence.
And that consequence would be?
That he doesn't get a CO.
Yeah, but at that point, he could probably use holding tanks.
Holding tanks are not allowed on new construction.
Not at all.
That's New York State.
Which is why we usually just deal with the zoning ordinance. Because I don't pretend to know.
That being said, you can design a septic system that the water coming out the other end of it, you can drink. They have the capabilities for that. It's very expensive, but it can be done.
So we're talking about a raised bed?
There's raised beds, there's... infrared light or not infrared, ultraviolet lighting systems. There's filter systems. There's air filter systems that blow air through these pipes to help break it out. There's bark systems. There's many systems that are available.
Just out of curiosity, did he drill a well yet?
No, he has not drilled a well yet. So.
And when it comes to you with the plans for that, you'll make sure that there are necessary distances, obviously, from the
right.
structures
now,
of the area.
Right. Now, here is the town of Kroger does not govern putting in a well. Department of Health governs that. And the only requirement is that it is 100 feet away from a septic system,
yep.
unless it's your own. You can sign a waiver with Department of Health.
Which
you have your septic system closer to your to your own well. You can't put your septic system closer to your neighbor's well.
Right.
But in Mr. Menzies' well is already in place, so that is noted. And there's there's probably 500 feet between.
I mean, it seems like he's taking a lot of chance. I would never go the route that he's taken. I'd want to have my well in place. I'd want to have my septic planned out with a perk test before I went ahead and spent all the additional monies to build my structures.
Well, and again, the difference between that is the lay of the land between his side and Mr. Menzies' side. The terrain's a little different, and when he gets done leveling it off, there was a hole that was dug by Mr. Jung years ago to dig sand out for several properties. That needs to be filled in and graded off, and you know, there's high berms that are there that have been left from that. And when that gets graded off, the soils that get put on top where the septic system can go could be different than what is there. So the perk test would be different, so therefore the whole design becomes different at that point in time from one to another.
I don't see how you could grant a permit without knowing where and if the septic is going in. So I don't think she has enough information to grant the permit in the first place.
Any additional discussion? If not, I'm going to try and make a motion and see where we go with it.
I got the picture.
Kathy?
I have nothing.
I'm going to make the motion to direct code enforcement to revoke permit 2021-277 for reevaluation once all requested documentation has been submitted by the applicant. And with regard to permit 2021-276, I would move to revoke that permit for reevaluation again once all the requested documentation has been submitted, recognizing that it may not be the same as would be required for a single family dwelling, but requiring a special use permit from the Planning Board of Appeals, as the original denial notice, which was never mailed, correctly identifies that without a primary structure, the proposed building fails to meet the definition of a garage, and an accessory structure cannot be a primary structure. The denial notice is incorrect in stating that a use variance would be required as an accessory structure require a special use permit in zone LFB. If you need, I can give you a copy of that.
Thank you, sir.
Do I have a second? Would you like me to explain in essence what I just said? Well, so can I have a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you. All right, so basically, I'm asking, directing code enforcement to revoke those two permits. Ask the applicant to submit the proper paperwork, sanitation, whatever might be necessary for an accessory structure as a garage. And if they do that, the applicant can then petition the planning board for a special use permit to put up the accessory structure garage. That it's our determination that the 1,250 square feet thing still doesn't make it a primary structure because no accessory structure can constitute a principal building. So that would at least give Mr. Powell the opportunity to get his accessory structure on there, get the rest of the work done, so get his sanitation work done, designed and submitted so that then the building permit could be issued for the primary structure.
Yeah, but if he, at the same token there, if they do move the soils around and the sanitation does change, he could modify that.
Well, that's the advantage of letting them go ahead with the accessory structure by submitting the necessary paperwork for get a denial notice. Make sure that you've really got everything that you want, because in your original denial notice, you said, you know, I'm missing all of this. Well, I'm thinking that for an accessory structure, you probably need a little bit more, but maybe not everything, because they had the structure there. You know, they've got a nice diagram of what the building's going to look like. Yeah, it would be nice to have a survey. I really don't understand what the problem is in getting surveys, but I would like to think that he would have a survey, and it's going to take me to a later discussion. But it gives Mr. Falvo the opportunity, if he wants to do it all at once, which you're telling me he can't. You know, he really can't get the work done until he's got the garage done, so he can then get in there and clear the rest of the stuff to get the perk test done.
Well, once the garage is cleared, the area for it would incorporate both the house and the garage in the land clearing.
This gives him an opportunity to do it either way. But basically what we're saying is the permit shouldn't have been issued. Get the information we need. Nothing that says it can't clear. And then once you've got the information, reissue the permits if everything is met that needs to be met.
Well, on the note of that, once the land is all cleared, he has a septic design, then he can continue on without going to any special use permit or anything else.
Correct. Yep. If that's the way he wants to go. What we're saying is what that motion says is the permits should not have been issued based on our interpretation of the zoning ordinance. Therefore, we're directing you to revoke the permits until such time as the information can be presented for you to evaluate and then make a determination as to whether or not to issue the permits again.
Agreed.
We're agreed on what we've moved.
Yes.
Mr. Clerk, take a roll call vote, please.
Okay, Chair Douglas Purcell.
Yes, I agree with the motion to revoke the permits.
Frank Malagisi.
Yes.
Kenneth Corner is absent. Kathleen Ellerby.
Yes.
And John Burns.
Yes.
So you have our interpretation. We'd ask that you revoke those permits, talk to Mr. Favo, and ask him to get the land cleared and get the information you want that's needed to provide the septic system information so you can finally review the permits. All right? We have a little bit of other business before us, too, tonight. Jennifer received the additional documentation from our applicant for Z2021-09 with regard to what we asked for at the last meeting, which was a survey and an economic justification. I mailed what she sent me that he gave her to all of you. I don't know if you had a chance to see it or review it.
I saw it.
Okay, and I gave you copies.
I have not seen this survey. Does there?
You saw what I forwarded, correct?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't say it was a survey, did I?
Okay.
Does what he sent satisfy what we need? I will say this. I know that Jennifer and Mr. Burton went up to the property yesterday and looked at where stakes were. I don't know if cones were supposed to be over all of them, but I found a cone over one of them, and I found the other one on the front end of the property. I did not go 230 feet back to try and find the other two.
Found three of his posts.
Okay.
Based on reading the deed properly and with the compass, facing whatever it said, walking out from where the first one we found, and it was actually very factual.
And what I found
it was amazing to me, really, because I just never, the paper is so brittle that you wouldn't think it was still you know, it was very real. And it was everything his deed that you have a copy of said. And the drawing in the beginning, and whatever he had said before was not right. And it really is 230 by 230 by 230 by 230.
Okay.
Matches up right with the little road that you come in that I thought I was going to get stuck on.
I don't drive up it. I stop at the end and let the woman at the end of the road say, what are you doing up there?
The cone, all the stakes have, if you want to go up in there, they have orange cones on top of them so that you can see them better. And
the second one that I found did not have a cone on it anymore.
The measurement from where the line was based on going from cone to cone was about almost 26, but he wrote 25 on his paper, but it's 25 to 26 feet away from the line where his original trailer sat.
Frank and Kathy, you were two of the people that indicated that you were really wanted to have a survey.
Did the neighbor, which was his relative?
It was two brothers originally, that's my impression.
But wasn't there a survey available?
He was going to check with his cousin.
The cousin, whatever. Mr. Burton thought that his cousin, which would be his father's brother's son, his cousin, had a survey done of his piece. But he says he didn't. He can't find anything.
And now we almost go back to the poll discussion we just had. In his justification, he says he can't afford to have a survey done. Yet, we just said that applications should, at the minimum, number one, have a survey plot plan. So what's he going to do about that? If we approve the use grants, are you going to require him to get a survey?
For Mr.
Burton.
No, he has his, I don't know what he has, but
If Mr. Burton's corners are clearly marked, then why would he need to pay for a survey?
Part of the problem is that the original information he gave us shows us that the house, that his prior trailer was on both properties.
Both parcels.
He drew his cabin out here and pointed an arrow to it so that they understood where it was. And he didn't realize that he was giving them the impression that that's where it sat.
Yeah, I've got that paper.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I was there before the trailer was taken out and walked around it. I saw what I thought was the back corner marker behind the trailer. It was give or take 20-some feet away from it. At that time, he didn't have, I didn't know what his intentions were.
Right now, he wishes he had never taken it off.
Correct.
Because it really created a problem for him. I guess my question to this board is, are we satisfied with what he submitted as satisfying the additional pieces of information we require to consider this application? And if so, does that put us in a position where we can refer this to the Fulton County Planning Board for the 239M referral?
To me, it does, yeah.
I think due to the fact that the code enforcement went up there and they found the piping, I'm satisfied. As long as they're
satisfied.
They
can verify it.
Right. It's been verified.
Then I would like to make the motion that we submit the documentation that we received initially, plus these two additional items, to the Fulton County Planning Board in hopes that they can get it on their agenda for the December meeting.
I'll second that.
A yes vote will be to authorize this to go to the Fulton County Planning Board. A no vote will mean no, we want to get more information. Mr. Clerk.
Chair Douglas Purcell.
Yes.
Frank Malagisi.
Yes.
Heather's not here.
Kathleen Ellerby?
Yes.
And John Burns?
Yes.
Okay. You should have plenty of time to get it in for that. Technically, it should include the minutes from this meeting, too. Does this board want to schedule a meeting for the end of December, anticipating that the Fulton County Planning Board will take action on it during December, which would mean either something like December 28th, 29th, or 30th? Or do we wait until we definitely have word from them and then try and schedule a meeting? I'm open to either, to tell you the truth.
Well, we can set a date, and if it doesn't, we'll have to move it.
Except I'm putting out a legal notice.
Well, you ought to put the legal notice out five business days ahead of time.
Right.
When are they meeting? They're meeting December 23rd, aren't they?
Yeah, I can't get online.
I'm squeaking for you, Kathy. It's Tuesday, 21st, and you got to get it to them by the 14th.
Yep.
So if we went really late, December 30th, which is a Thursday, which you said Tuesdays work better for you.
Well, that's right. She can just have to pick her up early.
You want to schedule for December 30th at 7 o'clock?
It's on Thursday.
I'm not going to do it New Year's Eve. I'm not going to do it Christmas Eve.
Me neither.
Yes?
That sounds good, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
All right. So you'll do the notice for...
my only question is the town board has a final meeting and I don't have the... I can't get on anything.
Linda, do you know off the top of your head?
I believe that's the 29th.
Okay. That was kind of an advantage of staying away from the Wednesday date. That would be the Wednesday date.
Right.
All right. I only have one other piece of business and then maybe two. Shoot. That was stupid. I'm sorry, I'm really tired. Tomorrow is the planning board meeting where I've been invited to talk about the issue of subdivisions, and very specifically the interpretation of lot width. To refresh your memory, the lot width is the distance between side lot lines measured parallel to the front lot line and a distance from the front lot line equal to the front yard setback set specified for the district. For purposes of new building construction, in the case the lot width is measured above is substandard, and in the case all other dimensional standards requirements of the lot as prescribed by this article are satisfied, the lot width shall be measured at a length defined as parallel to and 15 front feet from the face of the proposed structure as it is oriented to the front lot line. My interpretation says if you've got an empty lot and there's nothing proposed on it, your lot width is measured whatever the front yard setback is from that front lot. The interpretation that went into the Putman subdivision was that, well, they could have put a structure on there and it would have been measured from 15 feet from the front of it. My point is, there was no structure there. There was no structure proposed. And in those cases, you have to use the setback. And the setback for that zone was 25 feet, and 25 feet from the front line, and that was defined as being Route 10, was in the narrow portion of that lot. Subsequent to that, I found out from Tony that it also abuts the back road. So they had a lot width that probably would have satisfied it. But I really think that I'm looking to the rest of you. Am I all wet in my interpretation? Or if the lot's empty, you've got to do that, unless somebody's proposing. I've only used that definition once, and it was for Ken Corin's garage. because his lot width was all over the place. It was narrow at the front and wide at the back, if I remember correctly. And I said, well, what is the lot width? And I found out that using this definition, 15 feet from his principal building was less than the standard lot width, and he had a non-conforming lot, which gave him the two-thirds, the one-third allotment to use for his setbacks. And we took advantage of that when we considered his application. But in that case, there was a structure already there.
Right.
So, yeah, everybody agrees with my definition.
Yeah, what definition did the planning board use?
You know, if you look at the minutes of the meeting, they said it was an average.
Average.
And I said, there's no such thing. And it was after that was pointed out to them that they came up with, well, this says that you can measure it from 15 feet from the front of the structure. Well, I said, there's no structure.
There's no structure there.
There's no structure. Well, there could be. Well, yeah. And once it comes to the code enforcement officers, if they've got it, then they can use that. But until such time as they've got an application to put a structure there, they've got to consider it empty. So that's the case that I'm going to try and make at tomorrow's meeting at 7 o'clock.
On the note of that thing, that whole mess,
yep,
with the Putnams, if Stan were to annex that whole piece into his property, Would that change anything in the fact that then it's not, you're not looking at it as a buildable lot, it's part of Stan's existing property?
But if Dick had left the one parcel where the arrow strip is,
yeah,
where Manda and Nicola, that wooded area between their trailer and the other part, if he left that on parcel one and just used it as an easement to get to part two, then he would.
I know they, those two, I've listened to them go back and forth, and
at this point, I consider water on the bridge. I'm trying to prevent myself from
happening again.
And in all honesty, I'm of the opinion that probably the Chaplinsky application, which we've talked about a couple of times, where I discovered what really happened was that Code Enforcement Officer Dusler denied the application. When Jennifer approached me, I looked at the zoning ordinance and said, you're the traffic cop. You direct where this thing goes. And according to this, it goes to the planning board. And the planning board is going to look at this and say, well, we can't do anything with it because we've got a non-conforming lot. I had no idea that they're going to come up with a different definition for lot width. Perhaps, as a traffic cop, directing applications either as, hey, this one can go forward, I don't have to send it to either board. This one needs an area variance, I need it to go to the Zoning Board of Appeals. This needs a special use permit, I got to go to Planning Board. Maybe when you get a subdivision or a lot line amendment, that in your definition, interpreting the zoning ordinance, doesn't meet the dimensional standards for the lot, you say, I'm sorry, I can't do anything more with this. I'm going to send it to the Zoning Board of Appeals for them to do an area variance. If they give you an area variance, then we can submit it to the Planning Board for them to determine whether or not. I don't see anything in the ordinance that says that that's not the right way to do it. I don't see anything in the zoning ordinance that says it's the right way to do it. I don't know. I would like to and hope that I can convince the planning board that my interpretation is the correct interpretation. Unfortunately, as I pointed out at the beginning of this meeting, we are not in a position to make an interpretation until there's been some sort of action by code enforcement and somebody submits an application to me. For example, the case of the garage on Route 10 that was, I think, probably one of the first ones where the 1,250 square foot thing was used. If somebody had made it an application to us within 60 days of that permit being issued, and again, a lot of people talked to me about it, but nobody was willing to go out and make an application, and they would have to be aggrieved. You know, that they have to have some reason to be aggrieved by that. Then we could have taken this up and been done with it 4 or 5 months ago.
Can I? Well, I'm sorry.
My hopes was maybe that the zoning board could make clarification on the definitions that the code officers are having and make a recommendation to the town board that perhaps the ordinance needs to be looked at, or a recommendation to the zoning board that something needs to be changed.
Well, we actually tried that and didn't get very far.
Didn't get very far. It's just sitting.
Yeah. I'm going to try and bring it up again tomorrow and see where we get and talk very specifically about this.
Right.
Fortunately, we've already made an interpretation on this now.
And it's binding. It's legally binding.
Yep.
But if there are things that need to be changed...
And if they don't agree with my interpretation, that's this board, not mine, this board's interpretation,
right.
that's something that they can do.
Right.
And I'll mention it, I'll discuss it with them, because... Well, again, they're doing another special use permit on another accessory structure. It's a good time to bring it up.
Okay.
Good
also,
point. And
can I just make one other note that I never received any further documentation for the Burton file?
The stuff that we were just talking about?
Yeah. I don't have that. Okay. That was never given to me.
We only got it yesterday. Jennifer, can make sure that she gets it?
For the what?
Burton. The two pieces of information. The
financial?
The financial and the diagram. Yeah. The stuff that you sent me via email yesterday. I'd give her my copies, but my copies were on the back of other pieces of paper, which really shouldn't be given. The file that you forwarded to me yesterday was the economic justification.
Mr. Burton?
Yeah.
Linda, just give me your email and I'll send it to you.
I can do that too.
Okay.
It's on the ZBA's website.
Well, I'll send it to you. I've still got it. Okay.
But that's not delivered to the town clerk's office.
The two new pieces of paper from his hardship and his...
Yeah, so, yes.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
No, I didn't give them to anybody because I didn't know if he had to have another...
Well,
he wanted to come again before the board because, well, I mean, he was really happy when we figured out the...
Yeah, but Jennifer, if that's part of the file, I also need to have that for my file.
We've made it part of made it part of the record now.
Yeah. Okay.
I only have one other piece
of
evidence.
Everybody can have a copy if they want. I just he just gave it to me, and I thought I didn't know what else we had to do to create a new time for him to come, and I would have But if you're just gonna,
it was kind of senseless to have him come in and say, "Here's the two pieces of information. We've looked at it." We can say, all right, you've provided the information. We asked them to direct it through you. So we can move forward, because we can't make a decision at the next meeting. We couldn't have made a decision until it went to the Fulton County Planning Board.
Okay.
All right. If the three of you, and I'll mention it to Ken, have somebody that you think would make a good candidate to take my place on this board for next year, it might be worthwhile to... talk to them and make a recommendation to the town board. Just something to think about. Okay?
Yeah, but we thought your decision yet?
No. No. Not after preparing for this one. You guys got no idea how much time goes into this and how much sleep I lost last night.
I know it does. Thank you, Doug.
Does anybody have any other information?
That's a smell of propane up at Pine Lake Stoves in a house.
Ooh.
Possible fire, I'm not really sure, but three trucks, I'm wondering myself.
Yep.
I'll make the motion to adjourn.
Could I have a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? I want to thank you all for your time and patience this evening.